here on your beautiful island to share in fellowship with you good folks that we've come to know and love over a quarter of a century now. And just wonderful to be back and to see what God is doing and continuing to do in and among you here at Spanish Wells Gospel Chapel. Tonight I would like to do something very risky. I would like to take a nautical theme. That's a risky thing to do in an island like that, isn't it? I want to talk about anchors. You know, anchors do two things. They stop us from drifting, and they save us from disaster. Anchors. Let's turn to the book of Acts and the 27th chapter of the historical book of Acts. Acts chapter 27, I would like us to begin reading, please, at the 22nd verse, Acts 27, verse 22. You'll realize here that we break into the narrative of Paul's voyage to Rome and the subsequent shipwreck that voyage brought. But in verse 22 of Acts 27, we read in this way, "And now I exhort you, says Paul, to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all of them that sail with thee. Therefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must cast upon a certain island. And when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria," that's the Adriatic Sea, "about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded, and found it 20 fathoms, and when they had gone a little further, they sounded again, and found it 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon the rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern, and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off." One of the things that my teenage daughter enjoys doing when she goes to camp is rappelling down 80 or 90 feet of sheer cliff. Of course, they're very careful at camp to make sure that every safety device is in order. Their equipment is always checked to see that it's in good condition. But as well as the main rope that these young people have as they walk backwards down the cliff, there's also a secondary rope known as the belay line. And should something happen, should the child slip and fall, or, God forbid, should that main rope give way, an individual at the bottom of the cliff who is watching very carefully what is happening is able to tug on this line and almost instantly stop the fall of the individual. And so we have a double security system there. Not only the main line, but the belay line. Of course, it's always amusing to watch young people the very first time they hang out over that cliff and look down. And you can almost see the fear welling up in their faces. And the thought going through their minds, will this rope hold me? But you know, that's not at all unlike life. And there are certain ropes that we hold on to. For the believer, those ropes have proven over the years to be strong and secure, to provide the safety that is needed. For the unbeliever, there is still a nagging doubt Can I trust the Lord Jesus Christ? Will He hold me safe and secure through the storms of life? You see, as I have read over the past weeks in this wonderful 27th chapter of the book of Acts, I discover that when we place our lives in God's hands, we are secure. I love this story. Years ago, I bought a book in one of those bookstores that sell off remainder books, cheap books. Probably only cost me about $3 or $4, but it was entitled The Great Sea Stories of the World. And it was full of books of adventure, books of travel, books of exploration, sea battles. And wouldn't you know that included in that book of Great Sea Stories of the World was this 27th chapter of the book of Acts, Paul's voyage and shipwreck. But I want us to look at this because not only is the whole story intriguing, but there's a little lesson tucked away in the event that we have read about tonight. When after 14 days on the high seas, after 14 days of being too fearful to even eat, after 14 days of storm, after they'd thrown off all their rigging, after they'd thrown off the balance, the callus, the cargo that they were carrying, perhaps the ship was taking water, I don't know. After taking great ropes and wrapping them around the hull to hold this little boat together, Paul stands up. Paul says, look, folks, don't worry. Oh, come on, Paul, what do you mean, don't worry? He says, the angel of God appeared to me tonight, the God whose I am and whom I serve. And the angel God told me, don't worry, Paul, not one life will be lost. Not one life will be lost. And sirs, I believe God. As the narrative continues, we discover the storm-battered ship apparently coming close to a body of land. Maybe they can hear the breakers up ahead. Maybe they're aware that things are different now. Maybe it's calmed down a little. But lest they be driven into the land and be cast upon the rocks of that uncertain territory, we read that they throw 4 anchors out of the stern of the ship to hold them fast. And then they waited, and they wished, and they prayed for day. I'm not sure, but whenever I have been taken out in a boat, usually by someone from this locality, they throw the anchor out of the, I call it the sharp end of the boat, landlubber that I am. Don't you normally throw an anchor out of the bow? And then you can ride. The current pushes you, and you can remain secure. But there was wisdom in this case to throwing the anchors out of the stern, wasn't there? They were headed towards the island. They didn't know what that island was going to be like. They didn't know what was going to await them. And so throwing the anchors out of the stern, they were headed toward the land, and as soon as the day broke, they were ready to go. And of course, eventually they did. They cut those anchor ropes, they went straight in, they hit the reef, the ship broke up, everybody grabbed a plank. When they counted the number of folks on the shore, it came to 276. All hands accounted for. A miracle? And Paul knew already that it was going to happen. But what I want to do this evening is I just want to identify 4 anchors of the soul. 4 anchors that will keep us safe and secure in the storms that life brings to us. Here's the first anchor that I want you to examine. The first anchor that I want to ask if you possess. It's the anchor of God's presence in our lives. Now listen to this. Paul stands up. In fact, it's amazing, isn't it, that Paul, who is a prisoner, actually becomes the hero of this whole story. Paul, who's a nobody, ends up giving all the orders and giving directions in this terrible storm and showing these people how they can be saved. It's a lesson there for you and for me, surely. In this world, we are Christians, but we're insignificant. And yet somehow, our words carry weight. And we can confidently talk to people and give them spiritual direction on the seas of life. And people, if we're living right, will recognize that we indeed speak the very voice of God to them. But look at this first anchor. It's the anchor of God's presence. Paul stands up and says, be of good cheer. Don't worry. Not one soul will be lost. We'll lose the ship. But not one life will be lost. For there stood by me this night the angel of God. You see, through all this storm, all 14 days of it, there was never a moment that Paul was detached from the presence of God. There was never a moment that Paul consciously thought that God had abandoned him or left him in this storm. And he says here that the angel of God came and stood by him that night. Bible scholars tell us that more often than not, when an angel of God appears to one of God's people in a significant way, more often than not, it's the very presence of God himself. And this angel messenger reminded Paul that God was with him. Do you know God's presence, consciously so, in your life? The true Christian does. And no matter what storms this old world presents to us, the presence of God will make the difference. In Hebrews 13:5, we're told, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. It's a wonderful promise. It's an interesting grammatical structure, because on this particular verse, we have no less than 5 negatives. Now, in the English language, you don't compound negatives. You confuse the issue. You confuse what the meaning of a sentence is. You ask the child, where have you been? And the child says, I've not been nowhere. You say, well, you can't say that. You don't say not and nowhere in the same sentence. Those two negatives cancel each other out. He must have been somewhere anyway. But in the Greek language that the New Testament was originally written in, the more negatives you add in a statement, a phrase, or a clause, the more emphatic it becomes. This is literally what it would say. I will never leave you, not never know how. All right? That's terrible English, but it's awfully good theology. And it's wonderful experience when you know this Savior and His presence in your life. I tell you something. You'd be amazed at the storms of life that He will see you through when you walk hand in hand with Him and when you know His presence. Moses about to climb the mountain said, Lord, if Thy presence go not with me, carry us up not hence. Lord, if You're not going to be with me, I don't want to go. And as we face the uncertainties of yet another year, as we face the uncertainties of life, as we face the uncertainties among family members, I'll tell you something, there's nothing, nothing like the presence of the Lord Jesus, the presence of God in our lives to provide a strong anchor when we face the storms. So there's the first anchor you can depend on. God's presence in your life. But now here's the second anchor that you can depend on, dear friend. It is God's possession of your life. Listen again. There stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am. Paul says, you know something? I belong to God. God sent his angel. The angel the God whose I am. Now I just want to get this straight with some of you. When you have something that is yours, something that is your possession, indeed something that is very precious to you, let me ask you this. Are you likely to take care of it? Of course you are. Boys and girls, let's imagine at Christmas time you got a brand new bike. Did you? You didn't. You did. All right. Somebody did. Now tell me, do you leave the bike lying out in the yard? No. Do you leave the bike laying out on the street? No. Now, some kids might. But you don't, do you? It's yours, and you're going to take care of it, right? You better. Not going to get another one if you don't. And I tell you something, when we are God's possession, God will take care of what he owns. He's got too much invested in your life and mine not to take care of us. Let me share with you a verse that just struck me as being so appropriate. Isaiah 43, 1 and 2. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. It goes on. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. He says, fear not. I've called you by your name. You are mine. And because you are mine, I will take care of you every moment of the day, every step of the way. You notice that little phrase in the middle of that verse? I have redeemed thee. That's what makes us God's possession. Are you God's possession? Is that one of the anchors that you have that keeps you strong when the storms of life hit so unpredictably? God's presence in our life. God's possession of our life. Here's anchor number three. It's God's promise to our life. I like the way that Paul stands up and he says, fear not. Not a soul will be lost. We'll all be saved. Who is this Paul? Why can he stand up and so confidently affirm that no one will drown in these uncertain and uninviting waters with the storm raging all about him? How can he be so confident?
Very simple. He says this, for I believe God. Three words. But it speaks volumes.
It's not so much that Paul says, I believe in God. I don't doubt that 276 people fearing for their life on that ship would say, oh, I believe in God too. And I've been praying to God too. Paul says, look, it's not so much that I believe in God. It's that I believe God. I believe what He says. I'm prepared to believe His word in spite of all evidence to the contrary, in spite of what the captain of the ship might say with all his experience, in spite of what the ship owner might say with all of his desire to get the ship and its cargo to its destination. In spite of all this, I believe God. Dear friends, I've got a book that I'm holding in front of me this evening, and it is full of God's precious promises. One of the things that characterizes the true believer in Jesus Christ is that he has learned that these promises are true, that the one who made these promises can be trusted, and if you would bring your life and put it in his hands, his promises will always see you through. You see, the word of God is the anchor, but the word of God is also the terrain into which the anchor is dropped. Doing a little research on this, I discovered that in Japan in recent years, they've done a lot of testing of anchors. And it was very technical stuff, but I gleaned at least two things. Number one, the structure or the design of the anchor is one of the important features. And number two, it is the seabed into which the anchor is dropped that will determine how strong that anchor hold will actually be. It could be sand, it could be mud, it could be rocks, and it depends a lot on the seabed. You sailors, you fishermen know all about that. But I want to tell you that in the uncertainties of life, in a world where men's promises don't mean anything anymore, in a society where we cannot trust others, we have a God whose word never fails. And that's the God I present to you tonight, who through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, offers you salvation and security. Not only for the storms of the life that you're living now, but for the final storm of life, the storm of death. You know something? Some people seem to be able to keep the little boat on the waves, the blue boat of life, on the sea of life. They take in some water, they bail it out. They go through some rough times, somehow they manage through. But I tell you, one day, in the words of Tennyson, we'll be crossing the bar. That is the final test. That is the final storm of life. And the uncertainty of that destination ought to be enough to drive you to your knees and to drive you to the Savior for His salvation, for His grace, for His forgiveness. See, the world has many false anchors. I like what happens when some of the sailors get a little bit scared. Professional sailors? Yeah, the whole crowd is terrified. And they decide that they're going to jump ship. Ah, but Paul sees what they're doing. They're pretending to put a little boat out of the bow. No, they're pretending to put the boat down. And Paul says, now these people are suggesting that they're going to take more anchors and throw them out. Don't you believe it? They're taking the boat down so that they can jump ship. The centurion says, no way. Paul says they can't be saved unless they stay in the ship. And they cut down that little boat and let it float away. You see, there are some people who by their self-effort think they can face the storms of life. Not so. You need Jesus Christ. His salvation. And it's available to you right now. Very quickly as we close, here's the fourth anchor. We've seen God's presence in our life, God's possession of our lives, God's promises to our lives. But what about God's purpose
for our lives.
The angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve.
Paul says, that's my business in life.
That's God's purpose for me, that I might serve him.
You see, the angel had said, Paul, you're going to stand before Caesar.
You're going to give an account of your life and your faith and your testimony to Caesar.
Now look, God says he's going to get to Rome. And he's not going to drown in the sea. He's not going to wreck in the ocean.
He'll make it.
And someone has said this, we are immortal until our life's work is done. God will not take us home as Christians. All that work is complete.
Kind of amusing, isn't it? In the next chapter, Paul goes on the shore. He picks up a bunch of wood to put on the fire. A serpent comes out and bites him. Poisonous snake.
Everybody stands by and says, he's a goner now.
He shakes off the serpent. Serpent slithers into the fire. It's a serpent that's a goner. Listen, God's not going to save Paul through the storm, only to lose him to a snake bite. God's got a job for Paul, just like he's got a job for you.
And you need to find these anchors in your life.
And the hope of the gospel is that which will see us from this life into the next.
Hebrews chapter 6 tells us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. It's not our physical life I'm concerned about. Oh, I hope you won't have a shipwreck. I hope you won't drown.
I hope you won't come to tragedy.
My concern is that you have an anchor for your soul.
For one day, I trust you, with so many others of us,
will enter into that haven of rest. That wonderful home called heaven.
We're told in Hebrews 6 that our Lord Jesus has already gone there
as the forerunner.
It's a picture of a little boat going into the harbor. It's too stormy. The ship is not sure it can make it through the narrow harbor mouth. And so the little boat goes in and it carries a little line. And then they pull a rope
and they're able to guide the ship into the harbor. And our Lord Jesus has gone to the harbor, the home, the haven called heaven. He's drawing you to him. Will you come? The same Savior that died for you and rose again for you lives in heaven, inviting you to come to him. Would you receive him tonight? Would you accept him as your Savior? Let me ask you this question. Will your anchor hold? If you're anchored in Jesus Christ, you can be sure that these four anchors are yours and that they're secure, that you can depend upon him. Let's turn our hymnal as we close to number 180.
Lovely hymn about the importance of having Jesus Christ as our anchor in life. But as we close the service tonight, I'm going to invite you to stay behind for a moment. Talk about your soul. About the eternal destiny of your soul.
Because if you don't know Christ, it's high time you came to accept him.
We have an anchor that keeps the soul grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. Let's sing the first, and let's sing the fourth stanzas of number 180 before we close in prayer.